Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We definitely want to show people that this is actually affected and make people realize it's something they should be paying attention to and something they should be willing to get involved in.
You'll hear how people are demanding to be a part of the insurance overhaul debate. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 11, 2010. I'm Heather Hope. Mayor Villaraigosa ordered a citywide spending freeze today, along with City Controller Wendy Gruhl. He said Los Angeles hadn't taken enough steps to get rid of its deficit. For the rest of the year, the city's general fund can only be used to pay salaries. The decision will cut out expenses like mailings and renovations, as well as most travel, but trips to lobby for the city are still okay, including one Villaraigosa took today to Washington, D.C. As California continues to grapple with a massive budget crisis, some Sacramento lawmakers are proposing major changes to the way capital operates.
Democratic Assembly members and the bipartisan group California Forward suggested some controversial changes at a news conference. Chief among them is changing the voting requirements to pass a budget. Currently, California requires a two-thirds majority, rather than the simple majority needed in most other states. Senate Majority Leader Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg and Assembly Speaker John Perez, both Democrats, also called on lawmakers to forfeit pay if they don't pass a budget on time. Other provisions would require legislators to come up with ways to fund expensive bills and give the governor emergency spending control. Republicans say they agree with some of the suggestions, but Senate GOP leader Dennis Hollingsworth says he doesn't want Democrats to be able to pass a budget without bipartisan support. The proposed reforms will need a two-thirds majority in each House to make it on the ballot. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
A group of Korean homeowners filed a lawsuit against Trinity Law Associations for loan litigation scams that targeted the Korean immigrant community. Amina Karam reports.
Trinity Law Associates had an office in Koreatown. It was in an ideal location to attract Korean immigrant clients.
We believe that hundreds of homeowners went to Trinity, paid legal fees, followed the attorney's advice.
Youngsun Park is an attorney with the Asian Pacific American Legal Center. She represents the 28 homeowners who say they fell victim to Trinity's alleged scam. They're suing Trinity for falsely advertising in Korean newspapers. Trinity said homeowners could prevent foreclosure and reduce their mortgage debt by hiring the firm.
Then they stopped making mortgage payments and waited for the litigation to move forward. However, Trinity failed to provide the legal services that they promised.
Park says Trinity used a wide network of Korean-speaking agents to advertise their services to the Korean immigrant community. Trinity charged each homeowner about $8,000. They collected over $240,000 from the plaintiffs between February and October of 2009 before abruptly closing its doors, leaving the homeowners without any assistance.
Our clients have lost their life savings, their first and only homes, and their investments, all because unethical attorneys saw an opportunity to engage in a profitable scam.
OK Ki Shin is one of the plaintiffs. After 20 years of managing a laundry business, her family was finally able to buy a house in 2006. However, in less than 2 years, they were facing financial problems because of the downturn in the economy. That's when she turned to Trinity. But she kept receiving eviction notices, and one day in November, she got a sheriff's notice to vacate her house.
I was actually on my way to my sister's house for dinner when my daughter called me, and she was, because she saw the sheriff's notice first. It's just such a shock, and that the house had been sold and foreclosed. And my kids, they were so angry that they wouldn't even look at me. It's been an extremely difficult situation for my family.
Since October 2009, new state laws have been put in place to protect immigrant homeowners from these types of schemes. It's a protection these 28 plaintiffs didn't have to save their homes. Amina Karam, Annenberg Radio News.
USC has a new president. The university has been searching for a new leader for 5 months since Stephen Sample announced he will be retiring. Camelia Abuada reports.
USC's new president is a familiar face. The USC Board of Trustees announced late last night that they have chosen Provost Max Nikias. Dr. Nikias will take over from current president Stephen Sample in August. 75 candidates were reviewed and narrowed down to 7 finalists, who were all serving as presidents or provosts of major universities. The recommendation to choose Nikias was unanimous. Assistant Vice President for Media Relations James Grant is excited about this decision.
He has an exemplary career as a researcher, as an educator, as a university administrator, and earned a lot of accolades for his leadership.
At USC, Dr. Nikias' footprint is clear. He's worked on securing new fellowships and scholarships for hundreds of students. During his 4-year term as dean of the Viterbi School of Engineering, he tripled the number of women on the faculty and raised over $200 million, the only dean who was able to raise so much money in such a short period of time. Stephen B. Sample has led USC since 1991, and he believes the university will be in excellent hands with Dr. Nikias as president. Under Stephen Sample's 19-year presidency, USC has been recognized around the world in the fields of communication and multimedia studies, has built groundbreaking partnerships in the community, and has secured its position as one of the nation's top research universities. In 2000, Time magazine named USC College of the Year. Now, in a statement released by the university, the Board of Trustees declares that they believe Nikias is the best possible person to continue to lead the university forward. Camelia Abuoda, Annenberg Radio News.
We just told you about USC's new president. Now we'll have Annenberg Radio News' Trevor Thompson take a look at what that means for the surrounding South Los Angeles community.
Newly chosen President Max Nikias will be expected to not only lead USC, but continue a legacy of community outreach left behind by former President Stephen B. Sample. According to USC's Community Outreach Director, Catherine Diaz, Sample is as revered for what he did outside the university's gates as he is for improving the profile and academic standards of the school.
Sample's example and desires and wishes really inspired faculty and staff to want to be interested in the community and to create these a lot of these community outreach programs.
One of these programs is the Good Neighbor Campaign, which takes USC faculty and staff donations and grants them to local organizations, such as kids' sports programs and local theaters. But that's just one example. Diaz said Sample helped the university expand its total number of outreach programs to over 300.
Well, I think, you know, we have to say that his legacy is incredible, and I think it stands out amongst other universities in the country.
But according to Community Relations Executive Director Carolina Castillo, there's no indication outreach will slow down under President Nikias.
When President Nikias was dean at the Viterbi School of Engineering, he was a champion for community outreach efforts.
In fact, Castillo says a group of local community leaders and business owners were actually involved in the selection of Nikias.
For that voice to be included in the search project process tells me that community outreach and civic engagement is a huge requirement or criteria that they would like the new president to continue.
Now, Nikias, a former electrical engineer, has to prove he too can be a spark for change in the greater community, the way Sample was before him. Trevor Thompson, Annenberg Radio News.
It will be another mostly clear and sunny day tomorrow, but carry your jacket around because we'll get into the lows and 50s at night. It doesn't look like it will rain this weekend, so go ahead and make those great outdoor weekend plans. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll share how LA education budget cuts are affecting adult education. If you get all your news from local TV stations in Los Angeles, you will be most likely out of touch with what's going on in local government. That's the conclusion of a new study. Chris Foy reports.
If you get all your local news from television, you might think everyone in Los Angeles County is either a criminal or a celebrity. A new study released today by the Norman Lear Center at the Annenberg School suggests that local TV news broadcasts are not doing their job of informing the public. The study found that one-third of local news broadcasts led with crime stories, and when they're not leading with crime, the rest tend to start with sports or entertainment. In a typical 30-minute local TV news broadcast, only an average of 22 seconds were devoted to local government coverage. That includes education, layoffs, personnel changes, the budget, and the environment. Former TV news reporter and panelist at the release event today, Bob Jimenez, is disappointed.
The experience for, I think, news watchers, it's much like walking into a fast food chain, eating your hamburger, and then walking out and feeling, why am I still hungry? Because the nutrition isn't there, the content isn't there, and you're left wanting.
The study found that Los Angeles' budget crisis appeared as a lead story only one time out of 100. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
U.S. Census figures show that over 28% of young people between 18 and 25 are uninsured. That's the highest percentage of any demographic, but young people are perhaps the least represented in the healthcare debate. USC's CalPERG is trying to change that. Jenna Zwang has the story.
That is why we need strong healthcare reform today.
USC's chapter of CalPERG, a California group that promotes political change, held an unconventional demonstration today advocating for healthcare reform. A group of about 15 students in dark clothing collapsed on the steps of Tommy Trojan in the center of campus, representing what they call a die-in. Campus organizer William Seeley says that it's a call to action.
The die-in is a very visual statement to show everyone right here in the USC community that this is something that's going on right now, that this isn't something to be put off for later because it's not something nice to talk about, but it's something that really needs to be solved right here.
The die-in participants were meant to symbolize the over 45,000 people who die every year because they can't afford health insurance. CalPERG members like Yvette Ferrer passed out fact sheets to passersby. She says it's critical that young people join the debate.
Most students haven't really ever experienced troubles with healthcare. They've either been on their parents' healthcare plan or the school healthcare plan and really don't realize how much of an impact it's going to have once they graduate.
Tony Ring, one of the members who pretended to be dead for the 15-minute long demonstration, says that he wanted to show fellow students that health reform is something that needs to be dealt with immediately.
Ultimately, if this current generation of senators and legislators can't do it, we're going to have to, and the problem is only going to get worse.
CalPERG says that after graduation, students will have to pay anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000 a year if healthcare remains the same. Reporting from USC, this is Jenna Zwang, Annenberg Radio News.
Budget cuts to education are deep and widespread across Los Angeles. One area where they're often overlooked is adult education. Richie Duchon reports that with the down economy, one adult school has been caught in a nasty catch-22.
At a recent student council meeting, Evans adult school teacher Juan Noguera called for a meeting.
Why? Because a lot of important changes are happening in terms of money, budget, how we need to allocate the money. It's going to be very difficult because the whole district is going into cutting.
Evans Adult School in downtown LA is part of the LA Unified School District. And as Noguera says, it's cutting. LAUSD is facing a $640 million deficit, and that's leaving Evans in a very difficult spot. At the very moment the down economy is freeing people's schedules to go back to school and applications are up, budget cuts have meant Evans has no room for them. Evans Adult School Principal Danette Rowe says she's been forced to cut teacher hours by a whopping 41%. She says that's simply meant slashing classes.
We had to look at totally cutting our Sunday program. We cut down our Saturday program. And the other classes we just filled up to the max. And then we started out in September having a lot of closed classes, meaning we had to turn students away.
Talk to teachers and advisors around Evans, and you'll find the litany of cuts is long.
We used to have 160 teachers, now we have 100.
Fewer materials. We're worried about paper. We're worried about how many clicks there are, meaning the use of a Xerox machine. We're searching around for pens and pencils and paper clips. It's gotten pretty bad.
That was 40-year Evans Adult School veteran Angelo D'Elia and 36-year veteran teacher Lois Como. LAUSD Superintendent Ramon Cortinez agrees adult education is a critical part of the education system. But Cortinez says he's forced to spread the pain around, and adult school is not immune.
They have to understand that it is going to be different and that I don't have anything to say about that. It's the economy in this state and in this nation.
Teacher Juan Noguera knows the importance of adult education. Noguera fled civil war in Nicaragua in the late 80s. He landed in L.A. with no education and no English. Noguera quickly found his way to Evans Adult School, and he's been teaching other adults at Evans for 10 years now. Noguera works nonstop, holds fundraiser after fundraiser, and buoys everyone at the school's hopes.
Well, hope is the last thing that we have to lose. I don't think I'm going to lose any hope here. I think we need to continue. Why? Because I am a product of adult education. I am the result of adult education. I am the, I would say, what an example of adult education, what adult education can do to a human being. And I think that is important. And my job here is to try to get more students into becoming effective elements in this society to make California a better place.
While the situation at LAUSD remains grim, Evans recently received another $1 million in help from the federal government, and they've added a few more classes just this month. Principal Danette Rowe says it's one quality of adult education. It's nimble and can react quickly to whatever is thrown at it. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
And now it's time for our weekly segment bringing the most odd news this week. For the record, women who drink alcohol gain less weight than non-drinkers. That's a new study coming this week published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. The study looked at 19,000 Americans over a period of 13 years. The women who reported they didn't drink alcohol gained 6 pounds more than the women who did drink on a regular basis. It's not clear what the message is here. Should women drink or not? Other studies show women drinking increase the risk of breast cancer. So you probably should take the way that you would drink your tequila, just like anything else, with a grain of salt. And now we check in with ATVN's Kate Cagle to see what's happening on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Heather. Tonight on ATVN, well, this morning I went to court expecting to cover a trial, but instead, the couple involved in a crash that killed one USC student and critically injured another pleaded no contest to all the charges against them. We'll have the details about those charges and a look back on our past year of coverage since the accident happened. So tune in tonight on Trojan Vision at 6 p.m.
Thanks, Kate. Early this morning, a 6.9 aftershock rocked Chile. After a string of earthquakes and aftershocks in Chile and Haiti, residents in Southern California are questioning if we're prepared for the big one. We talked to Jack Boatwright, a senior seismologist at the U.S. Geological Survey. He's optimistic that California is prepared, but he says earthquakes have a way of finding weaknesses.
It's not a question of if, it's really a question of when. When we do have a large earthquake, either in Southern California or Northern California, we're going to still find out places that we didn't sufficiently fix or retrofit.
So remember, when the big one hits, find something sturdy and get under it. If you're outside, stay outside and find an open area to wait out for the quake. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Charisse Delgadillo, Elizabeth Warden, Ryan Nunez, Jessica Flores is our producer, Timothy Beckworth, and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Heather Hope.
We'll be right back.